Hey, Mystic Michaela spiritual family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today is everything aura pop culture. I'm going to talk about all the pop culture news and talk about it in aura color. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. So here we are
doing
the pop culture episode, your favorite.
Very excited about this one. I have been given a list of things we're going to be talking about.
The topics.
The first one, you know, is Britney.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just running through the notes here, looking it over. And, you know, just throw this out there. One of the love interests on the sheet was Jason Alexander.
Yes.
And I thought she had dated the guy from Seinfeld.
I know. You're like, she dated George?
I'm like, she dated George?
But don't you remember when she was married super quick? It was like an overnight thing. I don't even know if your whole life have followed any sort of celebrity gossip.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I know more about the Industrial Revolution than this stuff.
Yeah.
I can tell you more about the Renaissance than this stuff. I know nothing. Like, this paper to me, it looks – I can't even tell. I don't know who any of these people are.
I know about Britney.
Yeah. There's tons of a list of Federlines and Spears and I don't know, Robinsons and Timberlakes. And I know very little. So I guess I'm going to get educated here.
You're going to get educated just a little bit. I mean, here – all right. If you want like the timeline or the biography, like we're here for the aura portion of Britney.
All right.
And Britney wrote this memoir, The Woman in Me, and I've been listening to it via the audio. By the way, I don't even like audiobooks, and Michelle Williams reading this book is amazing. I feel like because Michelle Williams gets it and we feel the empathy and the connection that they have, and it's just that part's it. So I've been
Is Michelle Williams someone we should know?
You remember Dawson's Creek?
No.
I forget her name on Dawson's Creek. Remember, okay, The Greatest Showman. She's the wife of Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
That's Michelle Williams.
Okay, all right.
Brokeback Mountain. She's one of the wives. I forget which wife.
All right.
Of Heath Ledger.
Okay.
Was Heath Ledger's, I think, wife in real life.
Oh, really?
When he passed. Oh, yeah, okay. I think they have a kid together. Anyway, that's Michelle Williams.
Okay.
She's been through it herself in life. So The Woman in Me, to me, is a story of a pink aura woman who was stuck in a gilded cage and was supposed to be kept there. And she fought her way out. That is what The Woman in Me means. In aura colors, that's what I feel like happened. And this book is basically the pink aura punch. The pink auras from the Mystic Michaela spiritual family came up with the term pink aura punch. It's when, like, out of nowhere, it's like, boom, here, I said it. And Britney has a pink and purple aura. And with her, she definitely got raised by the wrong people. I mean, I cannot emphasize enough how much difference it can make by who raises you, by who, for whatever reason, why you get the parents you get. Like, just looking at Taylor Swift, for example, because we just did the deep dive episode a while ago on her, and her parents are so supportive, and, you know, they supported her being an adult and having a voice, and you can tell it's a relationship that's healthy, versus what Britney was raised in. It makes a difference. And that right there is where she first got her first hard knock in life, her first feeling of being contained and owned and exploited.
All right, so let's look at those colors first.
Yeah.
All right, so you said a little bit earlier that Britney currently is pink and purple.
Yeah.
Was that the same as a child? Was she also pink and purple, or was she different?
When she was a little kid, pink and purple.
So she has not changed her colors.
No.
She's been pink the whole way through.
If anything, she feels more pink than she's ever been now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I know a lot of times people lose that pink.
Yeah.
And, or like maybe they're yellow pink, and that sometimes that pink will turn to purple.
Yes.
But in Britney's case,
she's pink purple.
No.
And the book is, I right now, even without reading the book, she's pinker than she's ever been.
Okay.
And I feel like when we were seeing her go through some stuff on a very public stage without knowing exactly what was going on, because she was behind the conservatorship with her parent, her dad and whatnot, I feel like we were seeing more of like a purple, and the purple was very unhealthy looking. Now, I feel like actually to save herself, she crawled into that pink as much as she possibly could to almost like shield herself. I call it the pink aura, like joy bubble. Like they can crawl into a kind of a pink bubble in order to live in a reality that is something that they can feel more comfortable in or what they can deal with. So I feel like she did that a lot. And even in the book, she says, that when things were getting really bad with her being controlled and exploited by the people that she was supposed to trust, she said that she began to think like a child. So I think that that was just really indicative of her being, you know, really calling to that energy as a safety net. But yeah, she's been pink and purple.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then what about, we have, so on my list here, I have mom, dad.
Yeah.
And then I have a sibling, Jamie.
And a brother.
And then a brother. Yeah. So what about mom?
So mom's purple, blue. You know, when I look at mom, it's very much kind of about her. I don't want to talk bad about people. When I look at mom's purple blue, I feel like she's can really act the part. And I feel like she believes herself, but she wasn't protecting her kid. At the same time, because the mom's blue looks very victimized, very victim-y, and her purple, and she feels like a child herself. Like she feels like she has a lot of childlike tendencies, not in a good way, in more of like an immature way. So I feel like mom was kind of about herself. Dad is a mess. All right. Like when I look at him now, dad, whose name is Jamie, has a green, purple, and red aura, which is not normal. He definitely wasn't born that way. I'd actually have to see a picture of him as a kid to understand. He looks like the guy went through hell. And I'm not saying this is an excuse, because a lot of us have been through hell, and we haven't treated people a certain way, and we take personal responsibility. But I do feel like this guy went through hell his entire life. And now his whole thing is, I will never be out of control again. So I feel like he looks at the people in his life as puppets, and he's the puppet master. And that's how he feels in control, and that's how he feels safe, and that's how he does everything. I don't feel like he ever thinks he's wrong. And I feel like he's just really hard to talk to, and he's very, very scary. But at the same time, he can be really loving. And to get his affection, to me, feels like how you survived in that world. And what's crazy is he created a whole infrastructure around Brittany where everyone was doing the same thing to her. No one, it's like screaming in a pillow. No one's ever going to, screaming in a void, screaming in a tornado, screaming in a hurricane. No one was ever going to hear her. They were only going to listen to him, because that is the world he crafted and created, and everyone bought into his reality. And because she's pink and purple, Brittany, it's easy to be like, oh, she's nuts, or she's kooky, or she's crazy, or like whatever the label it is. And he would threaten her with that. Like, I'll just tell them this, I'll just tell them that. The girl has her wits about her. I mean, she's definitely open about struggling with certain mental issues and whatnot, but she has her wits about her. But because she's pink and purple, she does not fit into society, which made it a lot easier for him to pull the she can't do it herself card, or we can't trust her card, or somebody else will make that decision for her card. And it was all tied to acceptance and love, and if you'll fit in, and if you have a family or not. So like really, and a lot of addiction, it feels like, going on in the family. You know, the siblings, you don't hear a ton about the brother. He's green and blue, but you do hear a lot about Jamie, her sister, her little sister. Sister is yellow, purple. I feel like people, like, Jamie wrote a book too, and people really came after Jamie and whatnot. Here's my thing, and I'm, again, they're all adults, and these are not excuses. I feel like it was survival in that family. It is very possible that Brittany was the scapegoat kid slash cash cow slash whatever, you know, and the siblings had to do what they had to do to survive. And if it wasn't them, the ones that, like, we're going to get picked. If it wasn't Brittany, it would have been them. So I feel like, unfortunately, they were stuck in a situation where they had to choose themselves, and they did. And that's a really terrible thing to do to kids. But I feel like that's what happened.
Is Jamie known? Part of my ignorance here. Is Jamie known for anything? Is she?
Yeah, she was an actress on some shows, and okay. You know, she had a little singing career, and then she just wrote the book. But
she obviously never got to the status of Brittany.
Never, and she wouldn't have gotten what she got without obviously her sister
right,
you know, being paving as famous way. As she okay. was. Sure.
Is there that, some, is there issues? Again, you said she's yellow purple.
Yeah.
Brother seems to stay out of these things. Green, yeah, blue, maybe
he's got like, I think he's a, he does things in that world too, but see, they're more rational colors.
Right.
See, green, blue. It's hard to say you're nuts. Okay. Yellow, purple. It's hard to say you're nuts. Like those colors have more rationale to them in our society. When Britney's pink. So pink people, pink auras have a tendency to say what they mean, you know, look a certain way, be really authentic, get just naturally picked on by others. Just she had the it factor, but for lots of different reasons. And when she was 10 years old, when she made her big break, like a famous person was like, do you have a boyfriend? Or, you know, when she was like 15 and Baby One More Time, people started asking if she got implants. I mean, like from a very young age, people were coming at her about her sexuality okay. and her looks. And so it's like when you're pink, you naturally get attacked. So that wouldn't have worked with the other two. It definitely worked with, it was like the perfect storm.
Okay.
Like the dad wants to create something. She's the perfect person to control.
Right. And yeah. and then Jamie being this yellow purple, she could be probably a little feisty too.
Yeah.
And did she, I know nothing about this. Did she work with the dad to try to put like Britney in that cage kind of thing?
That's
no?
the big question. I don't think anybody knows. Okay. If you asked me, I feel like what happened in this family, and I am not a mental health professional at all, it feels like one of those alcoholic addiction situations where, and like where dad's a narcissist and there's a lot of crap going on. And I feel like she definitely got employed to get her sister to do stuff. Like it's so sick though, that it's hard for me to blame the siblings. It's hard for me to blame Jamie back then. Now she's older, and in the book, Brittany says she's trying to repair that relationship with her sister. So that's great. And I hope they can do that. But I think she was told to, but that's what that dad would do. You know, I feel like it's like a narcissist type situation too. Like, let's put rifts between the siblings. Let's also make you as guilty as me, Jamie. You know, you're going to be just as guilty as me. If I'm doing it to Britney, you did it to Britney too. So see, we're both guilty. But she was just a kid, you know, and she was just doing it to. So I feel like he did use the siblings and the mom against Britney. Everyone was against Britney because they were terrified. So it feels like it was kind of working out like that way.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, but but Britney's the, I don't want to say this, but she's their ticket, right?
Yeah.
Isn't she the
ticket? She's the ticket, but she wasn't, like, you know, she was the ticket, but she was told, like, she couldn't buy things. Like, if she wanted to eat something, like, I want sushi. No, you can't have sushi. It's too expensive. Like, right. I, like, literally am making you all millions of dollars. Like, if somebody wants whatever they want, give it to them. You know, yes. And she talks about they didn't let her, they kept her feeling very small.
Okay.
They took her kids away from her.
Now, this still plays out. Now,
yeah.
Just because, you know, she was obviously, she's a singer and huge.
Yes.
But this still, even if she never became a singer and, you know, a famous star, this still plays out in families
this
all across
all the time.
America.
This happens
right?
all the time.
This is happening all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just that she's known. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other pinks are going through this with these situations with the parents, possibly substance abuse type things or whatnot.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Like dysfunctional, really dysfunctional, abusive families that like where there's like, because she feels like, to me, again, I'm not a professional, just life experience, she feels like the scapegoat kid,
right,
in the type of family where there has to be a scapegoat kid, because we can't blame the person who it's really the fault of. We have to blame somebody else. So we all collectively will blame the scapegoat kid.
Okay.
And that's what she feels like to me. I would love to hear, you know, what some addiction specialists think about that. But that's what I feel she feels to me. And then she was made to feel very, very small. But yeah, this happens,
yeah, happens
to people everywhere. Yeah. Yes. And the whole thing is like, well, she's got money and she had power and she could have said something and she could have done this. I you know, I don't know if she could have, because she was terrified. There was a system built up around her to keep her down, you know, and there were like assistants and everyone was telling on her and bodyguards, and they were making her take pills and sending her to rehab the second she acted funny or whatever. And she, I guess she does have some mental health struggles, but that doesn't mean that you can't live your own life. Mm-hmm. Like, and I totally get 20, 30 years ago, whatever she was like, when this was really big, maybe 20 years ago, some of the things back then really would have hurt her brand. So they were probably like using that as kind of a way to wield it. Now, 20 years later, you know, for example, her being with Justin Timberlake. So she was with Justin Timberlake for like 4 years when she was just a kid, like 19 or something like that. And they knew each other from like the Disney situation. And then I think she, when she got her big break, she went on tour with NSYNC. That was like how they hooked up or whatever. Anyways, Justin Timberlake has a purple green aura. All right. Them being together, this is what I feel like this was. Okay. Now this is just me. This is what I feel. She's purple pink. She can feel the fairy tale is real. I feel like they kind of set this up as like a brand situation.
So this was kind of like an arranged.
I don't think Britney knew that.
Okay. Did Justin know that?
I think Justin totally knew that.
Okay.
I don't think Britney knew that. And I'm not saying that they weren't in love or they didn't have a connection, because they definitely feel like they were friends. And I feel like he really did care about her. And I do feel like there was love between them. They were kids and they were young and they were coming up at the same time. And, you know, Britney's the type, like, she's really sweet. You know, you can tell she's authentically kind. And I feel like he isn't this, it's like a bad guy, and he, you know, but he was young or whatever. And kids are going to do stupid things to each other. So there was some talk about who cheated on who or whatever. And then Britney does this bombshell where in the book, she says that she had an abortion. They got pregnant. She had an abortion because, you know, Justin said, we're too young for this. And then she had an abortion. And of course, when the information comes out, recently, I guess it was him and Jessica Biel's anniversary weekend or whatever. And by the way, he's left the country, which I did.
Justin Timberlake has left the country.
He's left the country. I read that. I admit I cackled. Oh, it was just.
Well, first of all, so it is true.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there's proof. I guess there's proof.
But he's not stuff. Like, he's not like, Britney's likable.
Yeah.
He's not likable, right?
Yeah. It depends who you ask.
I know who he is.
Yes.
And I find him to be like a little. Yeah,
maybe, you know, like your read on him is kind of like that he'd be. By the way, this is a great time to remind everyone that aura colors aren't bad. Aura colors don't make you bad. Intentions make you bad. Aura colors are how you kind of carry out those intentions and what behaviors that you're going to do. So Justin Timberlake's purple green. You know, he's smart. He produces. He's a great performer. He's really interesting. He's dynamic. He's got a lot of energy. But I feel like his intentions were that, like, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to do what I got to do to get by. You know, this does not fit, you know, this baby situation does not fit in with the bigger picture. And this is what we're going to do moving on. You know, I guess he broke up with her over text, and you know, it's a lot of like back, you know, it's very easy to just hate him right now. I feel like that's what the collective is doing. But yeah, so he's purple green. But I feel like what happened was she was really shocked by their breakup, and he wasn't, you know, because I feel like she was really in the fairy tale and maybe not noticing things, and he was more in touch with what this is and the bigger picture of it all.
Yeah.
And
and just to add, from this is just my thing. Like, I remember him from, like, the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't come, like, you know, like, all the blame went on her.
Yep.
He didn't, like, take any of the blame.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seems like, And again, I don't want to bash this guy. I don't know who he is. I've never met him before in my life. You know, I probably wouldn't even know him if I walked down the street and he walked right by me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He seems like this kind of old school, kind of jerky dude.
He looks out for number one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's looking. He's kind of like everything probably that's wrong with that industry. Yeah.
And I think some of the stuff he maybe did back then, I don't know how many years ago this was.
Yeah,
it's not going to fly today.
No.
Like his stuff, like his antics, like with the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson and Britney, all that. That's not flying today.
Yeah.
Like no one's putting up with that stuff.
No, and people can see it in a different lens now. They're like, wow, that was really crappy, like that everybody was coming after Janet at that time.
Yeah, they were.
And everybody was coming after Britney when they broke up, and he wrote the whole Cry Me a River song about it, which is a very catchy song. It's been in my head, like, nonstop since it's old. But I think, like, at the time, like, when we were all watching it, we're like, why is he so whiny? Like, what? And like, everybody wanted her to be the villain because, again, it's just that easy to make a pink person the villain.
And Janet Jackson, probably purple, like a lot of purple there.
Yeah,
probably,
she's like very purple.
Yeah,
and it's just easier.
Yeah.
It's just easier to make the woman the villain, like the onus on her.
Yeah.
You know, women in general get this too. Like, not just pink women, like women in general get the onus constantly put on them or whatnot. But yeah, and I think like with him, he knew how to maneuver all this stuff so well because he's purple green. So he's green. So it's kind of like the engineer brain. And he's purple, so he can do it in a creative atmosphere and with people and vibes and stuff like that. But now he has no idea how to do it, so he just left the country. He's like, I have no game plan. Let's just go somewhere
else. We gotta get out of here.
Let's run.
Yeah.
Let's get out. Because that's pretty... There's nothing you can say.
He's so green that he realized, like, there's no winning here.
I think he realized
I lost. Like, game over. Britney wins. I've lost.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to win this right now.
Right.
I mean, she told such a such a brave thing to say, such a vulnerable thing to say. And that's so pink aura, by the way, to kind of come out and be like, I had an abortion and this is what happened to me and these are my mental problems and this is what she's admitted to being addicted to, like, or I don't know, addicted or taking Adderall or something. So, like, pink aura people are very honest. And they will just say something and they don't hold the shame that a lot of us feel like we should hold or sometimes we feel like other people should hold. So my advice to everybody is when you hear something that bothers you, because we're all programmed to be judgmental. It's part of our social order. It's part of how we are as humans. Like, it does serve a purpose. But when something bothers you, ask yourself, why does this bother me? And then, like, really, like, walk that down and be like, oh my gosh, is that a programmed agreement? Is that something that I feel like I'm not allowed to do? So I kind of go after anybody else who's doing it, you know? So, like, if somebody is wearing something, like Britney used to get that all the time, like that she would wear her low cut jeans and her little midriffs and people would go after how she's dressed. It's like, why does that bother you? Does it bother you? Why? You know, and really answer that question, because sometimes it's just a programmed thing that's not you. It's your programming. And then you can get rid of that. Because pink auras are the target of a lot of programmed nonsense. But it's funny because, like, we're still doing it. Like, we're still, everyone's like, oh, society is different now. It's like, no, it's still flipping happening. It's still happening. Like, I see it with, like, Taylor Swift, for example. Like, them coming after her for just hanging out with a lot of girls and questioning her sexuality and things like that. It's like, you know, stop. You know, like, I hate when people, you know, look at someone and go after something like that. So, anyways.
Okay. And then I'm looking at the other love interest here.
Yes.
And it seems like, if I had to sum it up, it looks like there's a lot of green, blue, purple going on here, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go through all of them.
I'm not going to go through all of them.
But there's, like, just...
Sam's her
blue.
Well, they just got divorced.
Oh, okay.
Or they're getting divorced, or they got divorced. And he's purple blue. It seems like Brittany after.
Yeah, that'd be purple blue. There's no logic color between the two of them.
Yeah, and okay, so it yeah.
Like, that must be a wild time.
I feel like Brittany, you know, all right. So she was in that conservatorship from 08 to 21, and I feel like do you know that, like, the only way she knew that anybody was worried about her is some nurses in the rehab she was kind of stuck in were showing her the free Britney videos? Like, if those nurses, thank you, nurses, if those nurses didn't say, like, hey, look at this, people are worried about you, she never would have known that anybody was speaking for her. Does that make you sad? That makes me so sad. She started dating just like a lot of tricolored situations, and like, empath like, aura.
Yeah, green, situation. Purple, blue is the
Brittany
combo.
Feels like she is very adverse to hearing the word no more than ever. So kind of dating more purple people or empath aura or kind of tricolor situations are going to ensure that you don't hear that a lot. They're going to be more supportive, more silly, more fun. On the bad side of that, it's like people going after your money or people trying to take advantage of you a little bit. She probably will always have to be careful of. I don't know. Sam didn't feel so bad to me. I feel like it just didn't work out.
Okay.
You know, whatever.
And what about this Kevin Federline?
Green, Kevin blue, Federline purple. Is the father of her two boys. And he's green, blue, purple. To me, Kevin, oh God, I mean, Kevin. Okay. I feel like he saw the situation with dad, with Jamie, and there's kids involved, right? And there's money that needs to be gotten, and there's mouths that need to be shut. And I feel like Kevin understood himself well enough with that green aura to be like, okay, what's the easiest way out of this so that I have my autonomy, control with the kids, and money to live on? And so I feel like he circumnavigated Brittany and went through the people who are in control. You know, if you think about it, if you put yourself in that situation and you know Brittany's never going to win, you know, who do you talk to next? You're going to talk to dad. And dad's like, all right, don't talk to anybody. You know, this is how we're playing it. I'm the puppet master. You're another puppet. But this is how you get to get out of it. This is how we'll let you live. And I think Kevin's like, cool. All right. When I look at the kids, because I had to look at Dr. Shelby's making an amazing timeline for us all to look at. So that should be ready by the time this comes out. But anyways, when I look at the kids when they were real small versus now, it crushes me. Like, it's so sad. They love their mother so much. Brittany feels like such a good mom, such like childlike and loving and playful with her children. And like, she just wanted to hug them and love them. And she said she gave up her freedom so that she could have naps with her children, you know, like just saying basically, cause she knew the doctor, nobody was going to listen to her. So she just had to, fine, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just let me have time with the kids. You know, she had no say. It's just so sad cause the kids are very affected. So, it was just kind of sad.
So I guess my last question would be,
yeah,
do you think Britney Spears knows her aura?
I think so. She uses a lot of pink in her Instagram posts. The Woman in Me has a lot of pink kind of tones to the book. I feel like she does understand. Like, I think if you ask Britney, hey, Britney, you know, if she understood what an aura was, which she's very spiritual, I feel like she would get it. And I feel like she would know, like, and be like, I'm pink. I feel pink, and maybe purple too. I feel like that would be I think she does know her aura.
So what you're saying is if somehow I was able to get this episode to Brittany.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need the help of the Mystic Michaela spiritual family to do that, like pretty much every single one of you. And we all just bombarded her.
Yeah.
Well, then she might be pulled up. Wait, because she doesn't want to hear things.
She turned off comments on her Instagram.
Oh, okay. But if someone, yeah, if somehow we could get this to her, we feel that she'd be open to it and she'd understand the
pink. She'd totally be open to it.
That's really cool. I like that.
All right, so let's continue after a minute. I practically live in my Jenny Kane cashmere cocoon cardigan, and winter is around the corner. It is that holiday season, and it's a great time to refresh my wardrobe with some more timeless classic pieces from Jenny Kane. You know what else I love about Jenny Kane? They're so thoughtful. Everything in their collection is designed so intentionally that you can actually style pieces together without a second thought. I love to pair a Jenny Kane sweater with everything from classic denim to a simple slip dress for a look that's effortless and so easily put together. Plus, they have an incredible rewards program where you can earn up to 10% back with every purchase, and joining is completely free. So, time to get some gifts for yourself, for those people on your list. Gift yourself and your loved ones the best gift of all, Jenny Kane. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use our code KYA at jennykane.com. That's 15% off your first order, JennyKane.com, and use code KYA and let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. All right, so next up we have Matthew Perry.
So Matthew Perry, this is very tragic. He passed away, and I just wanted to talk about him. All right, so he had a green purple aura. When I talk green purples, man, you guys, so smart, so creative, such deep thinkers. So serious. It's kind of like, it makes sense that he was such a gifted comedian. Usually those people, I feel like, are covering up the most complex darknesses inside of them. Here's the thing with green purples, and, you know, I'm really sensitive to addiction. It's a terrible affliction. It's something that people struggle with. Everyone struggles with, you know, this could happen to anybody. But with Matthew Perry, his green to me, and this is kind of what green people do. They can take kind of like a screenshot of whatever their perception of the world is. And if it's very dark, that's it. Like, that's what it is. That's how their brain now filters everything through. So with him, I feel like he had a perfectionist tendency. He was constantly not measuring up to his own feelings of who he should be or what he should be. And his mood, I feel like, was just never at the level where maybe, you know, other people were. Like, perhaps he couldn't relate to joy or being carefree or just feeling like something was enough. I'm not speaking for him. I just kind of feeling his energy. I feel like that's what drew so many people to him. He's a person that you just kind of want to hug or what, you know, find out what's wrong with them or just try to make it better or try to make something easier for them. But the complexity that draws people in is sometimes, I feel, it's kind of like a cry for help. And he's purple too. So he's got like a lot of kid-like qualities, really creative. And how this all worked with his addiction is I feel like just sometimes when I see someone's aura, it's a little cloudy or something or hyper. And it's like they want to calm it down or they want to run from something or they want to distract. And I feel like, you know, the using for him was perhaps a symptom of him trying to fix himself. He was just trying to regulate. I truly believe if you could walk into other people's brains who are going through something, you'd get it. Just because I read enough people where it's like, man, like, your brain can hurt. You know, just regular people without these struggles, you know, it can be hard. It is hard. It's very difficult. But if you're somebody on top of that, who the chemicals are working a certain way, and you're also green, and you have this kind of like, you've screenshotted a certain perception that isn't ideal, and you can't, you've used all this logic to build it up so that that's the truth. I mean, that's really hard. Not all green people. Well, all green people do screenshot kind of like their perception of how the world works. But I guess the ideal way that a green person would do that is in a more like high vibe way or kind of like a open-minded way or something with more positivity attached to it. I feel like he just saw, and he's not wrong. Like, he's not wrong. I feel like that's just, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like a complex guy and he could see the bad, you know, and it was just hard for him to ignore kind of the tougher things. And,
yeah.
And he felt them deeply. He felt them deeply. Anyways. So with him, his need to distract just feels like it was consuming. You know, it was drugs, but he spent all those years getting clean. And then they said he would play like pickleball, like 2 hours a day, twice a day. Like, that's what are you running? I mean, that's a lot, you
that's
know.
A lot, yeah.
It's not like a guy that can just sit there and chill. You know, he has to get away from, I feel like, his perception. He's got to get away from his brain, almost. Like, the brain's the problem. So I really do feel like he found, on the other side, there is peace. And, you know, I feel like he was just so brave for speaking about this, especially green purples. Like, if you ask me what's the toughest aura combo to deal with addiction, I would say it's green purples. Because they're very, very locked into how they view things, and they can definitely convince themselves that there's no way out of it. And because of that, sometimes they're right. Because if you think something, it's true. And they really are good at believing what they think and also getting other people to like, oh, I guess you're right. That's true. You know, like they're convincing about it because, and they don't want to be there. They're just stuck there anyways. But he was really brave to talk about it, you know, in his book and his struggles and whatnot, because a lot of us know someone who's like that and they can't talk. And they're not in that space where they can talk about it. So it's kind of like a window into maybe somebody else's heart that you can't get into. He allowed us in there. And I think that that's such a beautiful legacy that he left for us all. Just that he could be a friend to us that way.
Yeah, I mean, this one really hit people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
He's lovable.
Yeah.
He's a lovable guy.
Yeah.
He's just very... It's like it's very relatable. And he talked about how much he suffered and how much he struggled. And he was so vulnerable about it.
Maybe he was one of the more, I guess he's maybe of all the friends on the show, maybe he's the most relatable to people. Was he? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I watched the show a little bit.
I think everyone has their friend.
Friend that they.
Everyone does have their most. Friend.
Yeah.
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 You watched the show.
I did watch the show, but I wasn't like a huge fan of the show.
Yeah.
I kind of watch it. Was it on the same day as Seinfeld? I can't remember. And if it was on after Seinfeld or
right,
before, maybe
right.
I watched it. But I wasn't like a huge fan of the show. But yeah.
To me on this show, like the character he played would be more kind of like Blue, I guess. On the actual show. I don't know. What do you think? I think everybody had their own kind of their own friend that they related to.
Yeah, but then he was kind of like on the show.
Yeah.
He was kind of like the snarky wit, right?
Well, that is green, though. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like more green.
Because greens can be like really witty and funny and snarky, like that. That is funny.
Yeah. And we have gone through the friends' aura colors in the past.
Yeah.
As characters and themselves. We could do that again quickly. I know you want to get to Angus Cloud next.
Yeah.
But let's just go through these real quick for the big fans of the show.
Yeah.
All right. So you have Courtney Cox, Monica. She played Monica.
Yeah.
In real life, she is a
she's like yellow purple.
Yellow purple. Okay.
Yeah.
And then on the show, we have her down as maybe yellow. And again, I know huge fans of the show could argue these.
Oh, please argue it.
You know, I call it.
I call it aura fiction. It's open to interpretation.
Yeah. So you have her down as yellow blue.
I do. Okay. But definitely yellow. I think definitely, Monica's yellow.
Yeah, definitely a yellow. I think we could all agree on that. Lisa Kudrow. In real life, we have her down as a tricolor.
Yeah.
And I would think Phoebe, her character's also tri. So in real life, you have her as yellow, purple, blue.
Yeah.
And then we have Phoebe as purple, pink, and turquoise. And I think that one makes complete
sense.
That
makes sense, right?
Yeah, she's definitely a tricolor. She's all over the place. You call it the tricolor tornado.
You know what's really weird? Sometimes, like, when I do reels or something, I'll get the random... I don't even know if they're troll people or not, but they'll randomly be like, hey, Phoebe.
to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't get it. And I don't think it's mean, but I think they're trying to be mean.
Okay. Because that means, like, you're all over the place?
Or? I don't know what they're trying to say.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I don't know if I sound like her. I don't think I look like her.
Right.
Or if I'm just acting like her.
Okay.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
But it happens enough that I'm like, there's something to it.
So more than once you've gotten,
yeah,
hey, Phoebe.
And they're trying to be mean.
And they're trying to be mean.
But I just am more confused.
All right.
But continue.
That's
funny. It's
all
random.
Right. All right. We have David Schwimmer in real life as Red Blue.
Yeah.
And then Ross's character, we have him down as Purple Blue. I would say... pretty much Victim Blue. And I would say everything I've ever seen him in, like with Madagascar movies.
The giraffe.
Victim Blue. I mean, I don't even know if he's acting. I mean, maybe he is because you have him as Red Blue, but
right.
I don't know. He's Victim Blue. I mean, you can't argue that one, I don't
okay.
think.
Okay. Is that your least favorite? You didn't like Ross's character?
Yeah, he was so like whiny.
Yeah,
Blue. Yeah, the victim. Now that I know this term, Victim Blue, that's what
no,
he is. Yeah, he probably would have been my least favorite on the show. Then you have Jennifer Aniston. We have her in real life as Purple Blue or Blue Purple, and then playing the same Rachel as well as Purple Blue. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. And then Joey, you know, he was very lovable on the show. He's like kind of the goofball, the real goofball comedian versus Matthew Perry, who was like the snarky comedian.
Right.
And Matthew LeBlanc is in real life red purple.
Yeah.
But Joey we have down as a more of a tricolor, so a little bit more, maybe a little more heart in there, something, a red, blue, purple.
Yeah.
Putting that, throwing that blue in there, because, you know, he was very lovable on the show.
It's fun to talk about.
It was fun to talk about. And, you know, Chandler, Matthew Perry would always, like, kind of, you know, get on him for being so, like, you know, silly, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. That's cool.
It's really sad, you know? I mean, like people, like, the show Friends is... It just resonates with so many generations, and I think we all rewatched it during the pandemic, and it's just always on, and it's just really sad to lose somebody in this way, and especially after he had such a breakthrough, and I don't know, he got clean. And I'm not going to comment on how I think he died. You know what? I'm not going to, because I just won't.
All right.
But I do feel like he's at peace and his struggle is over. And he left us with a lot of beautiful, beautiful words of wisdom, like I said, to just give us a peek into what other people in our life who we love might be going through and cannot express or articulate. Because it is hard to be green purple, especially when you're dealing with addiction and struggle.
All right. And I know you also wanted to throw in, I know you love this show,
Euphoria. Yes.
Again, I do not know anything about this.
I
don't
know,
unfortunately.
It's okay.
I'm probably a terrible co-host for this episode. I'm feeling myself a little victim blue here that I don't know anything. But there's another person who died unexpectedly, Angus Cloud.
Yes.
At the age of 25.
Yeah. Now, this did not happen recently, but they just announced season 3 of Euphoria will be coming out. So, Angus Cloud played Fezco, and he unexpectedly died. Now, he has a purple-blue aura, and he struggled.
They've already taped this season?
Nobody knows what they're going to...
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason why it came back up. Like, it was this U-Week's pop culture. It's like, hey, there's going to be a season 3 of Euphoria, but immediately, what about the character Fezco? What are we going to do?
Sometimes they tape it so far in advance.
No, I don't think they did because of the strike and all
gotcha.
That.
Okay.
But anyways, Angus Cloud is the actor, and he died. And the day that when he died, I was so sad because he's such a great actor on the show. He's so genuine. He's purple blue. That's his aura. And he passed. As soon as he passed, I knew it was an accidental overdose. I'm like, that he did not mean to do it, you know? And that's the thing. Like, it felt like an accident to me. It felt like, you know, him being the purple blue energy. I feel like when you're dealing with addiction, and this isn't like a one size fits all situation, but him being purple blue, it's kind of like, well, I'm just doing this now. This is maybe just a phase. Like, it's more kind of, in the moment, not thinking too far ahead, you know, getting away from maybe some big feelings, but not exactly hopeless. You know, it's kind of, you know, so the way when he passed, it felt like a big oops to me. And I think it was an accidental overdose. I think even his mom's like, he did not mean to do that. I know he didn't, you know. So I just wanted to bring that up because it was just so upsetting when he passed, because he's such like
does it feel
a lovely person
energetically, and you know, and if you don't feel comfortable, don't answer this, but does it feel different than Matthew Perry's death?
It does. I mean, Matthew Perry to me just feels very tired. He felt very tired in life. I feel really bad for him. He just felt really, really, really exhausted. Just like every day was just work.
Yeah.
And work and work and work. And life is hard enough without that, you know? So like I said, I don't want to comment on how I feel personally. I think that'll just come out. Mm-hmm. But with Angus Cloud, it was just so like, he did not mean to do that. Like at
right,
all.
Right. And you could feel, and this is again, that you could feel that?
When I do readings for people who've passed in various ways, they will come through with certain vibrations. Accidental overdoses are like, oops, like that's what it feels like. I did not mean to do that.
Like and I know you always say you need, like, to feel it more, you need a connection to the person.
Yeah.
So like if you said his mother, I think earlier.
Yeah.
So like if you were in front of his mom, like that would come, it would come, it would hit you like a wave.
Yeah. They feel like they run, they like bash into me, their energy.
Yeah.
Like I didn't mean to. And that because you've got to tell, they want to tell the family that.
Yeah.
Because like the families are always like, oh my God, was it me? Like for example, with Twitch, the dancer who died by suicide, that to me felt like, obviously that was not an accident, but at the same time, can you even understand? Like, I don't think anybody can understand what it takes to get to that point unless you've been there. So that comes through different, like, please understand I was suffering. Like, that is like pain. That's like as much pain as it's, the mental pain would be akin to, you know, somebody dying of a horrific, painful physical ailment. Like that's, so sometimes they come through like that. Like, do not take that personally.
Right.
I couldn't do it anymore. Like that. My brain was killing me. Like that kind of thing. So that's different. So they will come through with this is why and this is how and to please understand. But sometimes like when you're in a state like Twitch, like you don't, it's hard for you to think outside of what you're going through a little bit to like how you almost feel like you're doing people a favor. Because you're like, I'm so sorry. Your life will be better without me. Like you're in that spot, but then you're on the other side. You're like, oh my God, now I get it. I'm so, you know, please don't take it personal. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like what you're saying is if Angus could speak to his mother.
Yeah.
Through you or another medium or whatever.
Yeah. Or just like, he probably
would
himself. Just,
the most thing he'd want to get out, like it wasn't you. Accident.
That his would be like, I did not mean to take that much. Right. I did not know that dose was going to get me.
Okay. You know? Don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like that's a big thing.
Cause like a lot of people, I think,
oh yeah, you blame yourself.
They blame themselves.
Yes. Everyone blames. Of course they do. Who wouldn't?
Right.
You know, everybody does that. It's a state. I think we're just beginning to understand like all this and how it works out and how, it's, you know, these conditions that aren't given enough attention.
Well, I hope his mom somehow.
I think she came out and said it like, I know it was an accident or something. Good. So she knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, you know your kid.
Okay.
Anyways, I just wanted to talk about that because Euphoria is coming out and I do love that show.
I think it's a great show.
It gets a lot of crap, but because, you know, like I wouldn't want my kid to watch it. But like, and I hope high school's not like that. It wasn't like that for me at all. But it's great. I do love the show.
Okay. Anyway, all right.
But I loved him in the show. He was so good. So anyways, I had to bring that up.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to lighten it up a little bit with Real Housewives.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. So as most of you know, we have three cats. They're all rescues. As much as I, you know, grumble and moan about it. I kind of love them. But anyway.
We knew it.
So it's a big thing for us to give back to shelters and rescue leagues and things of that nature. And so does Smalls.
Yeah, this podcast is sponsored by Smalls, and they donate to the Humane Society. And if you're a listener of this show, you know that my cats cannot live without their Smalls. They ask for it. They sit around the fridge and meow at me for it. And Smalls recently kicked off a partnership with the Humane Society. They've donated over $1 million worth of food to help cats through the Humane Society. And they even give you a chance to donate at checkout, whether you donate $3 for treats, $5 for vaccines, or $7 for spaying or neutering. Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they've served millions of meals to cats around the world. Is your cat food giving back to cats in needs? Well, Smalls is. So if you want to give Smalls a try and ditch kibble forever, head to smalls.com/KYA and use promo code KYA at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code KYA for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code KYA for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. All right. So the next on our list here is The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
I have seen a couple episodes here and there.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it in a while because they had this character. I mean, I can't. Erica Jane.
Yeah.
Who was involved with the guy and they stole the money from the burn victims.
And the widows. And
I think she got acquitted. I think she got free,
yeah.
Right? She didn't get any
they
charges.
They threw her out of it, yeah.
But she seemed like she was so disturbing to me that like made my stomach turn.
She really is.
That yeah. I could not watch the show anymore.
It's true. It's true.
And when Andy Cohen and his cast of clowns over there at Bravo decided to keep her on the show, I said, I can't even like stop in when you're watching it to watch. So I've not watched since that season, which might have been 2 years. I don't know. Was that a year ago? 2 years ago? They have so many of these seasons. I don't know. But all right, what are we talking about with these guys? these characters.
You're like, now that I've made my stand, may talk about them.
Yeah, fine.
Now that I've shamed you all for watching this nonsense. Yeah. I don't know why I watch it, you know? Like, I don't know why I watch it. Yeah. Like,
Well, you've cut a lot of them out.
I've cut a lot.
I used to watch everyone.
Listen, I need to watch the new New York. Everyone's like, watch the new Real Housewives of New York. They did a whole cast review. I stopped watching the old one because I felt like they all had horrific addiction issues. And I'm like, I can't watch this. It's actually sad. You know, but I do watch this one. I watch Salt Lake City. It's like really good. It's like really good.
To me, it seems like they had to up the game at Bravo, and they only cast people that they knew would possibly be going to jail.
Oh, they totally did that for a while.
Yeah, they was like, all right, this one.
No, they did. I feel like they're getting away from that a little bit.
That's good. That's good.
But they were doing
that.
Yeah.
Because what would be the odds of every season there's someone that's up for jail?
Yeah. They were totally like looking at like they were collaborating with the FBI and Homeland Security or like whatever.
Right. Fine.
Hey, we're doing some casting. Do you have any Homeland
Security? Like, who's been stealing from old people? Who's been trying to get money out of burn victims? You know, that's who we're going to cast.
That's true. Okay.
All right, so who's on the cast now? I have no idea.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Well, you know Kyle. Because you always said she was a huge pot stirrer.
Well, she's the pot stirrer, yeah.
Like, you always said that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll be watching this with Scott, and if you have significant others, maybe this happens. Like, I'll just be watching it, just in my pajamas, just watching. And all of a sudden, you know, Scott will walk by and just be like, she's the worst one here! That one's the evil one! Like, you thought that, like, because you thought Kyle was, like, the big pot stirrer.
Well, yeah, you know, and again, you remember, I'm only coming in for, like, a snippet. Like getting a handful of pretzels and then walking out.
Judging me.
Yeah.
Saying something, walking out.
And I'd always see her like sitting at her little makeup counter doing her makeup.
Yeah, that's what she does.
On a Zoom call.
That's so true.
Is it still going on? I don't know. I can just see her just stirring the pot. You know, I'm not involved with that. And then just stirring it. So,
you never know who gets the edit.
That's the other thing.
You know,
better.
I don't know. All right. Well, anyway, so Kyle is purple blue, and Mauricio, her husband, is green purple blue. And apparently,
that's a theme today. This green, purple blue.
Apparently, they're getting a divorce.
Okay.
Ish. I don't know. They like refuse to ever say anything. And okay, so this is my. I'm gonna keep it to the aura colors and not my opinions. All right. Kyle, to me, worked really hard to step out of the shadows of her sisters, okay? She has her one sister, Kim, who's a really she was a really big actress, and she made it actually really big when she was younger in Hollywood and whatnot. And Kathy is obviously Hilton, you know? And I feel like Kyle, you know, was like, all right, you know, and she got on the show. And I'll give it to her. Like, she hustled. Like, she made it. She actually, her and Mauricio did something that a lot of people don't do on this show. They actually made more money being on it instead of, like, gone broke or I don't know, like, had some sort of scandal or anything like that.
Steal from burn victims.
Right. Like, they did it. They did it honestly. They have the agency. Mauricio has the agency. There's a real estate brokerage or whatever. And he's green, purple, blue. And they parlayed this into more money and more stability. And they seem to have, like, a very close family. They got a bunch of girls together. Kyle has a daughter from another relationship from a long time ago and whatever. So and everyone's really sad because they seem like they had a very tight relationship, like really tight marriage. They've been married for like a long time, 20 something years or whatever. So it is very sad that this is happening, and Kyle seems just kind of angry lately, and Mauricio seems very distant. So that's the vibe I get on them, like in their photos, like on red carpets and stuff like this. My problem with them is this. Everything they tell us is like their script. I feel like they do. And that's not the worst thing. If anything, I feel like it indicates that they care about their kids, because I feel like they've come together. They're like, listen, this is what I think happened. Dad and I are getting a divorce, but this is what we're telling everybody. All right. So here's the story. We're all going to stick to it. I'm not going to throw Dad under the bus. He's not going to throw me under the bus. His relationships, we're not talking about them. My relationships, we're not talking about them. We're, you know, we're living, I think they live in the same house or whatever. So I feel like they're trying to be mature and responsible about it for the sake of the kids. The problem is we all are hearing their stories and we're like, BS. Right. But I think at the same time, it's okay, you know, because they're just trying to keep everything friendly with their family. It's weird because they're doing it on a TV show. Like, you should just quit the TV show already. Like, don't you have enough? You know what I mean? Like, can we just maybe take the TV out of it? Because you're still trying to create a narrative.
Okay.
Which is what I think is going on.
Yeah. I mean, again, I know nothing about these people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little strange because they are a little bit older.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And, you know, I mean, just time of life. And it's like a little bit different, like with these Vanderpump children.
Yes.
Where like they're just...
They're in their 40s. They're not kids.
Oh, they aren't. Well, they act like they're like in their 20s. Yeah. The guy, you know, the guy who's in a garage band for the Village People, that guy who cheated or whatever.
Yeah.
And that just like seems like more nonsense-y.
Yeah.
But this is like... They're like real
it's
people.
Sad.
Or something.
Yeah, they got kids.
Yeah, kids.
And a house. And
yeah,
in laws. And
it's maybe just being done more. I don't know. Like
it makes us all kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, not me, but
no, it makes. I
don't
mean,
know, I could care less.
If you've been watching it, it's sad. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I think maybe they need to do it more tasteful because of where they are in life.
Okay,
like, you know. I don't know.
Okay, so you don't want to be like, he's cheating on me with his Dancing with the Stars partner.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to be out in the news saying that about your soon-to-be divorced
Yeah, exactly.
Husband.
Because, like, they're not – like, the Vanderpump people, they're looking, I guess, for people to hate on them or follow them based on, like, you know, he cheated on me. They're trying to get that kind of crowd or whatever, that kind of attention. I don't think these two want that type of attention.
They don't. You're right.
I mean, again, just maybe stage of life and, you know,
well,
children and things
like
that.
You know, you're absolutely right. Like, Mauricio is like a businessman.
Yeah. Right. And he's got, like you said, he's got this
great company, agency.
You don't want that tarnished.
He's green, purple, blue. He's got a big heart. I think he's a good father. I feel like he loves his kids. I think he's like a nice person, you know, and Kyle too. She loves her kids. You know, she wants to be seen. She got back into acting. I think that she wants that to be the narrative. Like, you're absolutely right. I think that's part of it. I think, like, with them, what happened was they grew. This is the problem. This is what we all have to be careful of in all our marriages. And this is, like, the absolute scariest thing. You got to need each other. Like, if you stop needing each other, you know, what? Then what? And I don't mean, like, being needy. It's just, like, need one another. And for something like that, that person has to be your best friend, or that person has to be the person you can laugh with, or that person has to be the person that you want to spend time with. The second it starts, there's other avenues. That's when it just opens up for separation and growth. And now they don't have anything in common. And especially with the kids getting older and stuff, you know what? So it is sad. And it feels sad because it is sad.
Okay.
So that's why I got those two.
Okay. And now here's my other theory.
Yeah.
And this might be controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
Okay. Nobody cares about that anymore. How many times can you watch a has-been celebrity dance and then some guy just, you know, scream out a score that he gets
right.
and says, you did the cha-cha so great or whatever.
Yes,
is that guy still out? I don't know.
I don't watch
but
it.
But I think he was even canceled before it went to like Peacock even. Like,
oh, did it? I don't know.
It's just been, it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
But. They now have a new angle
yeah.
on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Which is like dating the Dancing with the
Are
Stars.
Are they so, dating?
So every
so
time
true.
Now they try to make couples. So they, you know, that's what I think they do.
For sure.
Yeah. So they're actually, I think the producers of Dancing with the Stars are telling, you know, whoever the dancing couple is, I don't know.
Yeah.
That you guys need to
kind of feel free.
Have the chemistry. Take
right.
a picture holding hands.
Right.
Get a little romantic. Maybe a little side kiss. You know, so I think Dancing with the Stars could be playing into this too.
I don't doubt anything these days.
Exactly.
Anything. But exactly. I do feel like they both have their own relationships and they're just keeping it mum.
Okay.
Like I think Kyle has her thing. People think that Kyle is with this woman named Morgan.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then people think Mauricio's with his Dancing with the Stars
partner.
Well,
that also could be that they're the people at Dancing with Stars are trying to get them together.
Yeah.
Like maybe like they want them to fall in love.
But then like Kyle had some sort of reaction on social media about Mauricio and his Dancing with the Stars partner, which was like what you were saying they were trying to avoid. And then I think she succumbed to it and then she took it down.
Ooh.
Yeah. She took down the post.
It's getting so heavy. It's getting heavy.
So it is getting right. a little petty. But anyways, yeah. All right. But then there's PK and Dorit.
All right. So we got that's Dorito, right?
Yes. And then and PK. Dorit is from, what? I think, Connecticut, but she has an accent. Nobody knows yes, where it's from.
I know you've told me this in the past.
And she's yellow-purple. And PK is British, and he's green-purple.
And what does PK stand for?
I don't know.
Is that a name, or is it just named PK?
His name's PK. I do not know what it stands for.
Because it was like P.T. Barnum.
It's a PK. I don't know. PK. I don't know.
That's really his name, PK? Like if I knew him, I'd have to be like, hey, PK.
Yeah, I think he works in music or whatever. Mm. I don't know. I never paid much attention to him.
Like, maybe his name is, like, Peter Kevin? Or does it stand for something?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up.
No, that's fine.
Right. We can't just leave the people here. No.
I will, for the sake of this episode, I will call him PK.
PK.
You're looking this up right now.
Oh, yes. And I will not edit this out.
Okay. We'll sit here and wait.
On Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Let's see. I don't know. They're not even telling me.
Maybe he just has it.
Paul. It's just Paul Kemsley.
No.
Please. His name is actually Paul Kemsley, and she calls him PK.
Okay.
Okay. So his name is Paul Kemsley, but she calls him PK.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
So PK, this is what I think happened with these two.
Okay.
I think Dorit just annoyed him away. Like, I don't That's not nice. I actually feel really bad for her. She lived through this horrific home invasion, and she's had like all this like that. She told a story last night when I was watching it that somebody stole $10,000 from her in the supermarket. I mean, she's just been like. She has terrible PTSD. She actually does not feel like a mean person. I have to say, just as somebody who's been on, I've been on housewife shows. Okay, a lot of these people aren't nice. I feel like she'd actually be like, I judge it from, hey, would she say hi to me or would she ignore me completely? I feel like she'd actually say hi and shake my hand and look me in the eyes and be like, oh, do you have children, or ask her. Like, I think she'd be polite.
Right.
So I don't want to like say she's evil. I don't think she is. I do feel like she's super stressful. She's very yellow. She's very controlling with the yellow, anxious with the yellow, probably because of everything she's been through. So it amplified her already, you know, nervous personality or controlling personality, like amplified it because of what she's been through. And I feel like PK just doesn't, he's just not the nurturing type. He wants to feel like maybe the man or the savior, or like, okay, like get better, you know, like be better already. Okay, you're done. All right, don't have post-traumatic stress disorder anymore. It's over. And I feel like she's trying to get more out of him, but he doesn't have it to give. Like, what he has to give is maybe appearances and things and experiences and things like that.
Okay, and he's, again, green-purple.
Yeah.
So we're doing, this is a real common theme today.
Yeah, but it's not green-purple's fault. I know, well, yeah. Mm. But it's different, yeah.
Is he the chameleon green?
No, he's not.
No,
he's green purple. He's not. I don't think he's like. I think he's just. I don't know. He's just. That's just
he's
who just, he is.
He's PK.
He's just PK. PK.
Do you think she'd call you MM? MM.
Yeah, I think she would.
She'd be like, MM.
MM.
MM. Come here. MM.
But I think that. And they're not admitting that they're breaking up or anything. They're just spending time apart, I think, is the story they're going with. My thought is that her yellow just got amplified, and PK couldn't exactly grow with that for the time being. Like, I think he likes her to be independent. He's independent. They come together to make a great life together.
Okay.
You know, but when you need kind of more from them, they've only been together like 8 years though.
Okay.
But when you need like more from them, he's like, that's not my thing. And you should know that, you know?
All right. Well, we know now what is going to probably happen next year. One of the two of them is going to go on Dancing with the Stars and fall in love with their dance partner.
Yeah.
And that'll be perfect.
Yeah. I do feel bad for the Dorit. I mean, I think she's like, sometimes I just feel bad for yellow auras because they like to keep it all together. But,
right.
Whatever.
But most people would not feel bad for her, you're saying?
Yeah.
They call her Dorito, right?
Like, I think.
Because they don't like her.
Somebody must.
Yes.
And I also think, like, Kyle and Dorit are in cahoots about this whole thing. That's the other thing. Okay. I feel like they totally. Because I feel like before these seasons even go on, Dorit's too much of a control freak. And Kyle is, too. Not to, like, be like, all right, this is how we're going to unravel all this together. And I didn't. There's only been one episode so far at the time of this recording. I'll bet you anytime there's a serious conversation about what's really going on with Kyle and Mauricio or what's really going on with Dorit and PK, it'll just be between those two because they are the safe person for each other to play it out in front of cameras.
Okay. Which and is my thought. Just to kind of finish up, round this out is
yes.
Erica, lack of empathy, Jane. Is she getting like a pass this season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's kind of flying under the radar. Yeah. She had her moment.
Yep.
The last time I checked in.
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Then we're coming back with some Golden Bachelor.
I'm going to be super honest with you guys right now. I had the subscription for like photo storage, like text storage. I don't know how these things work. And I don't know how I got it, but I do know I was paying for it every month and I didn't know how to stop it. Well, thank you, Rocket Money, because Rocket Money not only reminded me about this forgotten subscription that I was choosing to ignore, but it also canceled it for me with one click of a button. No waiting lines, no calling, no dealing with anyone. They did it for me. You know, it's 2023 and it appears that we can't really even buy things anymore. We can only subscribe to them. There's subscriptions for everything these days, from streaming services to razors, fitness programs to pet food, even bacon of the month. It's no wonder it can feel impossible to keep tabs on what you're paying for every month. That's why I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place with over 5 million users and counting. Rocket Money has helped save its customers an average of $720 a year and $1 billion in total savings so far. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/KYA. That's rocketmoney.com/KYA. rocketmoney.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. All right. So next up, we have The Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
And I feel, all right, well, first of all, The Bachelor franchise is something I know a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a sinking ship. Mm. And I feel that The Golden Bachelor was like, I don't know, just for a football analogy, was like a Hail Mary. You know, at the end of the game, you're down maybe less than a touchdown, but you're just going to throw it the entire way of the field. And if they happen to catch it, you win. And I think The Golden Bachelor was that. It was this Hail Mary that ABC threw, and the ball just didn't get caught. You know, it seemed like I watched again like 15 minutes of it here or there, and it just seemed like flat. I don't know, like just like they were going for something, and
yeah.
I think there was a little buzz to start,
yeah,
and then it just was like, no, you know, I don't know. Did what's going on with The Golden Bachelor?
This is a request from you all that I'm talking about it. That's the first thing. Otherwise, I wouldn't. I am watching it.
You and Abby watch it.
Abby and I watch it. Abby's my 8-year-old. We watch it together. We do have to fast forward through some of the kissing parts because okay. We're like, ew, we fast forward through that. But,
okay. Is there fantasy suites in this?
I don't know yet.
Oh, we haven't got that far.
No, like last night, I didn't watch it. Last night was Hometowns. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
So we'll see. Okay.
So there could be. Not Chris Harrison, the guy that looks like all the other bachelors.
Yes.
And actually, I think I've already said this.
You already said this.
Yeah, he looks like the Golden Bachelor.
He looks like
guy.
Gary.
So he might be giving out tickets to the to the room where they go.
Yeah, they don't do it that way anymore. But
oh, they don't? Okay.
All right. So Gary is blue and green. And, you know, he's just like a steady dude, like really nice. I mean, the first episode, Abby and I were like crying because he's talking about his wife who passed, who was blue purple, and how much they loved each other. And I'll never forget when I was first starting out doing readings, I had a woman come to the house and she was like a grief counselor. And she said, widows make the best husbands and wives. That's what she said because they know how to love. And that just, oh, God.
Yeah, but now he's in love with probably 20 women, right?
No, he's so respectful. Yeah. He's sweet. He's kind of corny. It's It's kind of like dating Mr. Rogers a little bit.
Okay. Does he take off his shoes a lot?
They keep putting him in old cars. Like, come on. Like, they keep putting him in vintage cars.
All right.
And they definitely gave him a spray tan. Like, there's a daily spray tan for Gary. So Gary's green and blue. And we have, again, I did not watch Who Left the Hometowns last night. So you're all updated more than I am at this point. But we're left with three women. We're left with Leslie, Faith, and Teresa. All right. So Faith and Leslie are both purple, blue. And Teresa is blue, yellow, and pink.
Ooh.
And it's funny because Teresa was, there wasn't a lot of drama in this show, but there was this one named Kathy who was a red purple, and she was calling Teresa like super stupid and stuff like that. Like, she was really picking on Teresa, and Teresa just didn't get it. Like, Kathy was like, don't tell me what a connection you and Gary have. And Teresa's like, oh, okay. You know, we came into my room last night and we talked, and Kathy's like, either she's doing it on purpose or she's dumb. Like, it was just really funny because she did get attacked for being a little pink the way pinks do.
Okay.
But she wasn't. She's just like a nice person. I hope he picks Teresa. I don't know. He seems to have it bad for Leslie, but we'll see.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I didn't read the spoilers. But yeah, I think he needs a yellow aura. I don't feel like he's going to choose a yellow aura, though, unfortunately. And so, he got rid of my favorite one, which was Ellen.
Well, there was, okay, and I tuned in for a couple minutes, and I saw there was someone from, actually, Del Rey, a pickleballer from Del Rey.
That's Ellen.
Oh, is Ellen?
Yeah, okay. I think that was Ellen.
Did he pick, like, Del Rey's a town over from us.
Yeah.
Did he pick?
Was she blonde and?
Yeah.
And she was, like, the pickleball champion.
She looked like she was from Del Rey.
Yeah, there was one. Oh, yeah, because there was another one from Port St. Lucie, which is.
They went Florida.
They went a lot of Floridians. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. But Ellen, I think you saw Ellen. And she had kind of like an accent, like a New York accent, or a Boston accent, or something.
To me, was like the typical New Yorker that comes down to Del Rey.
Yeah.
Lives at Kings Point.
Yes.
Probably even lives at Kings Point.
I know.
And
everyone loved Ellen.
Everyone loved her.
He got rid of Ellen,
Why did he get rid of Ellen?
I don't know. She was so into him. I feel like when you're Gary's got kids and grandkids. You need somebody that kind of understands how to navigate your world, and they understand how to navigate, it's like, it's more than just you two. You're not 20.
Okay.
So I feel like maybe it's just me. Maybe honestly, if I got remarried, which isn't going to happen,
right.
But if I did, it would be a yellow aura woman probably. Okay. I just feel like they make the best spouses.
Okay.
Yellow auras.
Because
every time he got rid of Ellen, yeah. And I would have picked, that's mine. I would have picked Ellen.
Okay. And for me, I am not going to get remarried, but I am going to get a companion, and it's going to be a three-legged dog.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So.
Inside joke.
Yeah.
Deep joke. No, but I would pick a yellow aura person, lady, for sure, yep. From this show.
Okay.
Oh, but then Abby and I also had the favorite, Susan. She's red purple, but she made meatballs and did hair.
She's
no, they
oh,
got rid
gone
of her too. She looked like Chris Kardashian.
Gary, what's going on?
It's
with
a wonderful
Gary?
Show.
We should have helped him out with this.
I like the show a lot. I feel like it's light and nice. I like that they show mature people living a wonderful full life, because that's what you do, especially down in Florida. And I love that it's just more real. In a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, because that's what I was going to ask. Because they obviously probably don't have Instagram. And
yeah.
They probably or they don't even know what it is even. Maybe Ellen doesn't even know what Instagram
They're
is.
They're all on it, but I think it's just for the show.
Yeah, you don't care at that point. Like, how many followers on Instagram. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I'm sure someone's doing it for them.
Right.
Yeah.
But the impetus, the motivation for the younger Bachelor girls or men or whatever is to get as many followers as they can.
Yes.
And then parlay that to, Paradise, and then parlay that to something else, and then eventually fizzle out, and then
right.
Just fake the followers till the end of time.
Right.
So, that's their motivation.
That's
what's the motivation?
The life cycle. That's the Bachelor influencer.
I just gave you guys the life cycle.
It's like biology class, and we just went through the life cycle.
Yes.
Like two little arrows.
And did I go through it too fast? Should I repeat
that? No, I think that was good.
I can repeat it one more time.
Okay.
You get on the show, and it doesn't work anymore because the show went down in flames.
The show went down, yeah.
It used to be, you get on the show, followers go up the amount of weeks you're there. So you keep trying to stay as long as possible to get your followers up.
Yeah, got to stay.
Followers peak. You have then you off the show. Then you go on to Paradise.
Yeah.
You get another burst
of
followers. Then you get off of Paradise. And then maybe you, like if you get married or whatever, maybe actually find someone. They try not to find someone for a long time so they can have another shot at
you
paradise.
You hope you're the next bachelor or right. bachelor.
But then eventually what happens is the followers start to dip.
Yeah.
And thus in comes the social media manager who gets you the fake followers.
Okay.
And then your followers rise. And then you're like, wait a second. They haven't been a Bachelor contestant for 6 years, yet they have more followers now than when they were on The Bachelor, which makes absolutely no sense. And logic tells you they've just bought hundreds and thousands of followers.
And that was the life cycle,
of the Bachelor influencer.
And you're saying because these women
and Gary,
it's just not their motivation.
And they don't have the time.
Okay. That's not nice. Well, I think that's just not – they don't care. Like, that's not their thing. Okay, Scott. You just made yourself laugh so hard. But maybe –
We have a 55 and older community down here called Journey's End.
Who named it Journey's End?
Don't
live there.
Yeah. But people live there.
They do. And it's called Journey's End.
It's called Journey's End. That's just what I was thinking.
This is terrible.
All right.
Well, it's a good show, and I like it. And I'd watch again.
You would.
I'd watch another Golden Bachelor or Golden Bachelorette.
Next they would do the Golden Bachelorette.
Right? Yeah, I'd watch that.
Okay.
Anyways, it's a wholesome show. Here's my only complaint. One of the group dates they had to do, you dress up for a wedding photographer session or something.
Okay.
And they made like a couple of the widows wear wedding dresses.
Oh, that's not nice.
And they were like crying because they haven't worn a wedding dress since they were married to their husband who died.
Okay.
And that's mean.
That's the jerky producers.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not nice.
Yeah. That's not nice.
But that's just TV. That was my – but Gary's so sweet. He's like the perfect guy for this.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right.
It's like dating Mr. Rogers.
Again, green and blue.
Yeah.
Not one red guy has been talked about today, so.
No.
All right.
Well, Jamie Spears.
Oh, Jamie Spears.
The dad.
He had the red and the green, right?
And the purple.
And, all right.
But that's a mess. Okay.
All right. All right. Anyway. All right. So we're done with pop culture?
Yeah. That was it.
All right.
Yay!
Yay! All right, moving on. If you want to call this overtime, you can.
All right.
That means you can feel free to go. It's nothing bad here today, so
stay
for this one.
Yes.
Stay for this one.
Yes.
All right. So every year we do a Christmas exchange.
We do.
I have won 3 out of the last 4 years. I won last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of my win was a little tainted because you kept saying, you know, it's because you pick the theme.
Yeah.
And I did pick the theme.
Yeah.
And so we made a new rule this year.
Okay.
And the new rule is that the loser, which would be you from last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Gets to pick the theme of this year.
So you started in the middle of a story.
I did.
Yeah. So we got to back it up.
All right. Back it up.
Every year, Scott and I do a special Christmas exchange. We started this years and years and years ago, way before the podcast, because we would get each other things. And it was just like, oh, thanks for the shirt. Oh, thanks for the, you know, what? I don't want jewelry. He doesn't want a shirt. You know, like, so let's get something that's meaningful to each other. So we would do a competition, and it was like $25 limit, and then it would be some sort of theme. So last year's theme was
a Hallmark Christmas.
Yeah.
So you had to get someone a gift from Hallmark, like a Hallmark type gift, and you had to write a story that the gift would fit into, like a Hallmark made for TV movie.
Yeah, like a Christmas movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won.
And Scott won.
I won. So,
right. But the year before.
Yeah, you won the year before.
Was you got 15 minutes in a Walgreens.
Yeah, 15 minutes in a Walgreens.
That was my competition.
Yeah, and you won.
And it was 15 minutes in a Walgreens. You had to get something and really actually try for one another on 25 or under. And
right.
I won that one.
Yeah, and the year before, I mean, we could keep going back on these. The year before was a gift from your aunt.
Oh, yeah, you won that one.
Won that one. But we've come to this conclusion. That I come up with bad ones and you come up with good ones.
I do.
So we made a compromise.
Okay.
And the compromise is that the loser gets to pick this year's.
Yeah.
So I said to you, and no matter what it is you have that, you know, unless it's really outlandish.
Yeah.
You know, that you have to do it. So you came up with it this year.
Yes.
And tell them what it is.
All right. So the Christmas exchange this year, and remember, we decide how we decide who wins is you all and our children. Those are the votes that count. And I always put it up on Christmas Day, and then you guys do a vote. Anyways, this is the exchange this year. It is Christmas holiday treats, or holiday treats. It doesn't have to be Christmas. It's like whatever, a holiday treat we give to each other. So it's like a food gift.
Food gift.
Food gifts are an amazing part of the holiday season. watching the food gifts on QVC, such as Mrs. Printables, is a holiday tradition Scott and I have long honored.
Okay.
We've decided that we will give each other each a Christmas holiday food gift.
Yes.
And there are five criteria on which we are grading it. Okay. And I forget them already.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote it down.
Okay. So there's the five criteria. There's some other rules. The other rule is it cannot be a Mrs. Printables.
Oh,
because
yes.
We know if you get the Mrs. Printables, that's an automatic win. Yes.
For whatever reason, Scott and I have decided that Mrs. Printables is the perfect holiday gift to give
yes.
anyone.
Yes.
Just so you know. But not for each other.
But not for each other. So you can't give that. If you give it, that's great, but you'll be disqualified.
You'll disqualify.
Okay. And we've actually had to up the – we realized we did have to up the amount this year.
Yeah.
It normally is $25 to like $30. We
yeah.
give you a little leeway in there. But we're saying $49.99.
Yeah.
That's with shipping.
Yes.
With shipping. $49.99. So we had to up it a little bit. All right. What are the criteria?
So this is the rubric worth 5 points each for a total of 25 points.
Okay.
All right. So family enjoyability. So, like, the whole family has to enjoy it.
Right.
Okay.
So, if I got lobster, I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
But none of you are going to like it. That's
going
to score low.
Right.
Okay.
Presentation. You know, how holiday-ish is it?
Right.
Taste.
Yep.
Holiday-esque. Oh, no. I think it was presentation, how it's, like, packaged. And holiday-esque is how Christmassy or it is or
holiday
whatever.
It is. Okay.
And then would it, and the final thing is, impress the company.
Okay.
If you had company over,
would
they
them?
Be impressed?
Right. And, you know, we threw around a few ideas that, you know, just in case, because I came up like, well, what if
right.
I get like Entenmann's donuts?
Right.
I mean, everyone loves Entenmann's donuts.
Yeah.
That's going to score really high
score
on the taste.
It would score high on family enjoyability.
Right.
It would score high on taste.
Yeah.
It might even score mid on impress the company.
Right. Because
But low
like
on holiday-esque and low on right. presentation.
So
you really got to think about it. But what if right. I got you like... the Hickory Farms Sausage Delight Basket.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, see, on taste now, I might like it. You might like it. But the kids are going to score that probably low on taste because they don't like the sausage.
Yeah. And like the, and also all of you might score low if
right.
you don't like that.
But the company might like that.
But it might really impress the company.
Right.
And it might be very holiday-esque.
Yeah. And
You know,
I don't know. I mean, I might play hero for one day, take the loss.
Get the Printables.
Get the Mrs. Printables. And just next year, you know. I get to pick. So I might do that.
I might just
play.
Get you
that's in play.
A holiday cake from the grocery store.
Okay. Okay. From Publix?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could get a flippin' huge cake for $50 at Publix.
I might just go to Walmart and get you some holiday chocolate covered pretzels that are from last year. We don't know.
But that would score very low on family enjoyability when I point out the expiration date. When I get you
and the company too, because like, well, if you show them the expiration date, that'd
like
be
if you get like the Swiss Miss, like Walmart,
yeah,
hot chocolate package,
sure, yeah,
because like you yeah. open those and they are solid, like
yeah.
rock solid hot chocolate pieces.
Liquids count.
Liquids
you can get
count.
A liquid. You can get a liquid.
Liquids count. Okay,
all
so
right. all right, so that's
we had
be...
to tell you all that.
Yeah,
and hey, play
sure.
along.
Yeah.
We. Love hearing
yes.
how all of you couples, family members, you know, do it with your siblings
yeah.
or whatever. You know, $25, pick a theme. And
yeah.
on Christmas morning or whatever
yeah.
you celebrate, Hanukkah, first night or last night, you guys open it and decide who
yeah.
won.
You know, yeah. And we were doing this way before the podcast. We've been
we
doing
sure
this
were.
For a long, long time. we've always been, I mean, not always, but we've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
It's really fun. You don't need to have a podcast to do this.
No.
It just, it's weird that
believe
we do have a podcast
not.
To do this. But yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
It's
and,
nice. Yeah.
And it's weird because over the years, last few years, we have had a lot of people tell us they've been playing and they love
yeah.
it. I did this with my boyfriend or whatever, my girlfriend, blah,
yes.
blah. And, you know.
It's, it doesn't break the bank and it's like more
yeah.
thought.
It's
like
more
thought.
It's thought.
It's a lot of thought. And it's funny.
Yeah.
We used to do, this is what we used to do for years, was the impersonal gift.
The impersonal gift, yeah.
Yeah, but I kept winning.
Yeah, because I just wasn't understanding the concept so much.
You didn't get it. Like, once I gave, like, a donation in your name to the Red Cross.
And yeah, and then I went into, like, Marshall's and I got you, like, a knife or something.
You got me a cheese board and cutter.
Oh, a cheese board and cutter, and it had an M
yeah.
in the plate. And then you had to explain to me, well, that would make
that's
it personal.
See?
And so I was losing a
you
lot
kept
back
losing.
Then.
Losing. That's when we start changing.
But
it.
I'm on a good streak at a 3 out of 4 lately. So.
But I'm excited. Yes,
yeah.
we know. But I'm excited about this one. I'm
yeah.
really excited about the food gift because
yeah.
I like food gifts.
All right. And again, I might tank it. and go with the printables. I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet. It's on the table.
Yeah.
Everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table. All right. All right.
Last but not least, this will come out the day before our event in Fort Lauderdale. This is our annual Mystic Michaela spiritual family gathering, we call it.
The gathering.
The gathering. It's a jovial cult coming together in South Florida.
It disturbs the hotel employees. Yes.
No, they love they love it.
No, they do.
They do, and it's weird because like the people of the hotel that are not in our jovial cult, like the other people that are just coming for a nice vacation in Fort Lauderdale, they all want to be part of the cult by the end.
Yeah. But the last time we did this, one of the employees came up to me and they said like they looked at me, like, you know when somebody looks at you and they're leveling with you and they're a stranger, but you don't feel like they are in that moment.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she's like, these are like actually nice people. And I'm like, I know. And she's like, no, she's like, they're good people. These people are good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know. Like, cause that's the thing. Like,
yeah, you get that.
Yeah. Like people don't understand, like people lost faith in people until they meet you guys. And they're like,
that's amazing.
That's what literally happens.
And I just get people walking up to me and be like, are you the leader of this cult? And I say, yeah, I am. But anyway, let me give you some, let me give you some of the details.
We don't make you do anything creepy though.
Just in case you happen to be in and we do have people coming, by the way, from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
As far as
in Canada too.
In Canada, yeah, we have people from Toronto, the west coast of Canada. We have a lot of people from California coming, Arizona. I mean, we've had people come as far as Alaska. I think someone came from Alaska one year. So we do have people coming from all over the country. But again, it might be too late at this point to get a ticket. I have no idea. But if you are in South Florida and you want to come by, Friday night is a book signing. That is free.
Free.
And you just come.
Hang out.
You know, as long as, you know, it's not overwhelming. We'll try to get all the books signed.
At the Bahiamar.
At the Bahiamar Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Right on the beach, beautiful spot. And then on Saturday, we do have our ticketed event. That's Saturday morning, 9:30 at the Bahiamar Hotel. There could be some tickets floating around. I'm not sure. It was sold out last time I checked.
Yeah.
But there could possibly be a ticket or two left if you're a last-minute purple or something like that and do want to go. But it should be a great time. We're
really
looking
excited.
Forward to it, meeting all the people. That's what makes it so special.
Yeah.
So that's coming up.
I can't wait. I'm so excited to see everybody, give everybody hugs in person and just see everyone's just like awesome vibe. I look forward to this. And this podcast is for you and about you. And we're so glad you spent some time with us today.